Chris, I heard that the people in the cry room can hear the singing, but they can't hear the message.
Let's ask them now. Can you hear it?
You can hear it? Palm Sunday, a great day in the life of the church and for Christian people everywhere. I'm going to share this with you first of all. It's the Daily Guidepost Meditations for 2:12. And it ties right in with my sermon I'm going to give on who is he? And this is entitled, Showing Up. I know all of us have received emails, things, pertinent messages, but also the stories and the jokes and the political stuff and everything. But normally, I delete those forwarded emails with cute or sentimental stories without even reading them. I receive so many, and when it comes to internet profundity, I just don't have the time, and this is true. But for some reason, I read the one I received on Palm Sunday. It told the story of a little boy who had to stay home from church because he had a cold. And after the service, his older sister came home, waving her palm fronds in the air in front of him, and he says, "What's that?" asked the little boy. She answered smugly, as most older sisters would, "We wave these in the air and then put them on the ground to welcome Jesus." The boy started wailing, crying, and he ran from the room. And when his mother held him and asked him what was wrong, he said through his tears, "The one Sunday I don't go to church, Jesus showed up." Today's the day Jesus shows up in our churches, in our hearts, in our minds. We've been waiting for him all our lives. Are you ready? Will you be there? Don't let an ailment, physical, emotional, or spiritual, keep you from the warmth of Jesus' dramatic entrance into our lives. Today is the first day of the most exciting, harrowing, tragic, grief-stricken, and ultimately joyous week of our year. Don't miss it. Don't hit delete. Show up, take the Lord's hand, and begin the journey. Who is he? Well, everything that you have heard, read aloud from all the lessons today, take to heart. Take these printed lessons home with you and pray and meditate on these mighty acts whereby God has brought salvation and life to all mankind. You have sung your hosannas and waved your palm branches. You have honored your King, King Jesus. This is more than tradition. It is a profession of your faith. Just as it was a profession of the faith for those gathered alongside the road, waving their palm branches. They believed that, yes, Jesus was the Messiah. Picture in your mind's eye, you are standing alongside the road with the crowd, welcoming Jesus as he enters Jerusalem to worship in the temple to celebrate the Feast of Passover. You shout aloud, "Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." You, along with others, have strewn your cloaks and put branches in the path of Jesus, shouting, "Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord." And you see Jesus seated on a donkey as he rides into Jerusalem. The crowd shouts, "Hosanna in the highest!" And you shout, "Hosanna in the highest!" Quite an experience in your mind's eye to behold, isn't it? And so today you and I wave our palms proclaiming, "All glory, laud, and honor to thee, Redeemer King." Such a magnificent, triumphal entry our King Jesus made into Jerusalem. The hearts of the people were filled with joy and gladness that the rule of Rome and its legions were about to come to an end. Their deliverer, the new king, had come, and come Jesus did, but in a way more than what they expected. It always amazes me that how in the period of 1 week's time, the gladness and joy shown to Jesus is now turned to hatred and disgust. Even those closest to Jesus departed. Peter, James, John, the rest of the disciples all said they would not deny Jesus. Peter says that even if I die with you, Jesus, I won't deny you. We all know that all the disciples denied Jesus in one way or another. Denial, running away, and hiding for fear of losing their lives. Nobody loves a deserter. Yet, Jesus sees through all their character and loves them. And in instances when you and I desert Jesus, he sees through our character and loves us. Praise God for confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Jesus loves you. Three wonderful words. Jesus loves me. Everybody say those three words out loud. Jesus loves me. Christ forgave them, and Christ forgives you and me. Yet even in our sins, Jesus died for you and me. How can this person, Jesus, be my king and be crucified on a cross? The cross was for thieves and murderers. The worst and lowest form of punishment ever. Lord, help us to understand your passion, your suffering upon a cross made of wood. That is why I ask you to read in your Bibles this coming week all the events which led up to Jesus being crucified upon the cross. As you read the passion story, as it is called, get down on your knees and thank Almighty God. Thank him for the understanding he has given you of Jesus' death and why it was necessary. Thank him for what you don't understand. Ask him to make what you do not know, make it known to your understanding. Bow the knee, our Isaiah and Philippians reading tell us. Get down on your prayer bones today and during this week in particular. Humble yourself. Seek God's face in prayer as you lift your petitions to his throne of grace. And did you notice that the words from verse on Psalm 22 are the exact same words Jesus prayed from the cross? "My God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani." Such loneliness. Has this not been our own prayer crying aloud at times? Think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking the Father, "Take this cup from me." Jesus knew what was ahead of him. Remember, Jesus was every way human as we are. And knowing that you're going to be spat upon, whipped until the flesh hangs from your body, stripped of your clothing, thorns as big as those shoved down on your head, mocked of royalty by the soldiers, putting a purplish robe upon you, then nails driven through your hands and feet to a wooden cross, which was then hoisted up and then dropped down into a hole. The pain must have been excruciating. And to hang there for about 3 hours until you finally expire by suffocation. Then to have a soldier named Longinus pierce your side to make sure you are really dead. The soldiers usually broke the person's leg so death would come quicker. In Jesus' case, they didn't have to, thus fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy that said, "A bone of him shall not be broken." That prophecy is found in Exodus 12:46 and Numbers 9:12. Satan really came after Jesus in the garden like a roaring lion, ready to devour. Satan thought he had Jesus, but was he in for a surprise? Jesus prayed 3 times, even asking his sleepy disciples to pray with him for 1 hour. Would you pray me for 1 hour? Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. And Jesus' humanity asked if there could be another way. There wasn't. Only the way of the cross. Crucifixion for you and for me. The centurion understood there was no other way. By his uttering, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Salvation had been made known to this Gentile soldier. Jesus asked of all that come to him, "Who do you say that I am?" I want all of you to read the scriptures of Jesus' suffering from Mark and the other gospel accounts during Holy Week. Get out your Bibles and do it. Jesus' death and burial is not the end of the story. Jesus asks of us, "Who do you say that I am?" He desires to hear a response from you and me. So during this week, get down on your knees in prayer and give Jesus your response. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked this of all that would come to him. Pour out your hearts to Jesus, and his peace, which passes all understanding, will be made known to your understanding in an ever greater way. The Holy Spirit will make known to you, just as it was made known to the centurion, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, even as you entered Jerusalem, enter our world. Enter our hearts and lives. And come to us and rule over us. Teach us day by day to serve you as you ought to be served. To walk with you where you walk. To talk as you talk. And to be faithful followers whom you deserve. Give us strength to follow you toward the cross, not thinking about ourselves and our needs, but focusing upon God's reign and its triumph. Amen.